Christmas to everyone this morning. It's good to see you in the Lord's house this morning for our Christmas morning service. If you turn with me to your Bible in Matthew's Gospel, and we'll just read a few verses together in Matthew's Gospel. Chapter 1, verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was in this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. We're going to ask the group to come forward and sing an opening our carol to us. Thank you.
Oh, come, oh.
Well, let's come before him in prayer just now and let's seek the Lord's face. Our Father and our God, we come into thy holy presence this Christmas morning, and Father, we thank thee for the occasion that even has us gathered as a company of thy people this morning. Father, we thank thee for the incarnation. Father, we thank thee that God was pleased to dwell with man. Father, we thank thee that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And Father, we thank thee for the day and the hour when you come into our world in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ to be our Savior. Father, we thank you that the manger was to lead to a cross. And Father, we thank you that there the Lord Jesus laid down his life as a ransom. And Father, bore in his body on that tree our sins and our iniquities. And Father, we thank you because he came and because he died and because he rose again. Father, we can live. And Father, we can have joy this Christmas morning. And we can even enter into thy courts and worship the triune God of heaven. And Father, we come with the words of that carol ringing in our ears even now. O come, let us adore him. And Father, that is what we have come to do this morning. We have come to adore the God of heaven. We have come to adore the one who is willing to come into our world. And Father, he indeed, as the last refrain reminded us, he alone is worthy. And Father, we come and we just lay our worship before thee this morning in spirit and in truth, acknowledging that thou art God and beside thee there is none else. And Father, we just thank you for everyone gathered here this morning, and we pray that thou wouldst bless us as we listen to the singing, and Father, as later on as we would listen to Andrew, as he would bring to us thy word. Father, help him, fill him with thy spirit. Lord, use him for thy glory even this morning, and just hallow this time together this morning and make it precious. Father, we would remember those of our church family in their homes this morning who can't be with us. We pray that thou wouldst bless them and that thou wouldst be very near to them at this Christmas time. Some of them aren't able to get out any longer. Some of them are not well this morning. And Father, we would leave such before you. We remember especially this morning Trevor as he awaits for his bypass operation. And we pray that he'll get a date soon, Lord, and that he'll be able to get this treatment that he so desperately needs. Just leave him at thy feet this morning. And Father, we would pray for the Gregson family this morning as they mourn the passing of Ford. Father, we thank you for his life and his testimony. And Father, we just pray that thou wouldst draw near to that family at this particular time and be unto them all that they need. Bless all those who have been bereaved in recent months and Father, feeling the loss even at this Christmas time. And Father, we pray that thou wouldst be near to them even today and that thou wouldst bless them and do them good. Bless us all. Bless thy word to us. And Father, if there's any even listening to thy word this morning who don't know the Saviour, Father, it would be our earnest prayer this morning that thou wouldst even come and speak to them at this Christmas time, and that they would receive that unspeakable gift, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. Continue with us and bless us, for we ask these things in the Saviour's lovely name. Amen. We're going to ask Anna to come now and minister to us in song. Thanks, Anna. Life. At the car service a couple of weeks ago when they played the recording of Anna, my mind was blown. And to hear her live, sorry Anna, I'm nearly away here. That was lovely. Don't forget the services on the Lord's Day here. Sunday morning, William Shields, one of our deacons, is ministering God's Word. And then on Sunday night, Andrew Daly will be ministering in the Gospel. So do remember those meetings. And remember that Sunday night is at the earlier time. We're going to be under curfew for a week, and we all have to be home in our beds for 8 o'clock. So we're having the gospel meeting at 6 p.m. on Sunday evening. So do bear that change of time in mind, and that means the prayer meeting will be a full hour earlier as well. The prayer meeting will be at 5:20. So keep those announcements in your mind, please, and don't forget about the services on the Lord's Day. Despite all the festivities and all the joy of Christmas, Sunday is always still the Lord's Day. And we long to see you in God's house with his people. Now, you can't have Christmas without the kids singing away in a manger, can you? And I know there's been lots of difficulty and restrictions this year with singing and all the rest of it. But we're going to try a socially distanced kids choir this morning. So I'm going to ask sort of primary school age children if they wouldn't mind coming up and stand in your family groups. So stand beside your brothers or your sisters. We'll get you all spread out across the front here in a socially distanced way. All right. Good stuff. Now there's a wee family group together there. All right. Good stuff. Tally and Tura, you come over here with me. Good girls. All right, you stay here. Good girls. All right. Ruby. Brilliant. You boys and girls, that was absolutely beautiful. We really enjoyed that. Thank you so much. Now Andrew's going to come and he's going to minister God's word to us. And then after Andrew closes in prayer, the group's going to come back up and sing one more carol. Thank you.
Boys and girls, thank you so much. That was really, really lovely. I wish that I could bring all of you up to the front this morning and show me all of these exciting things that you have with me or with you. Put them up in the air if you have anything with you. Oh, look at all these things. Wow. Can I take them all home? No, I didn't think so. Okay. Well, it's great to see you, boys and girls. I wish I could bring you up to the front. And I can see everything that you've brought up close, but I can't. But I don't want you to switch your brain off, because I've got a couple of questions for you that I want you to try and answer. And I can't get you all to come to me at the end and tell me the answers, but what I want you to do is, I want you in the car on the way home, I want you to talk with your mum and dads or whoever brought you about the answer to these questions. So here's the first one. I'm going to mention a song this morning, and it's got a really weird name. And I want you to see if you can remember the name of that song, and you can talk to your mum and dad about it. And I want you to see if you can remember anything that I say about the song, some of the things that the song teaches us, and then I want you to talk to your mum and dad about that. Do you think you could do that? Do you think you could leave your brains on? Yes? I think so. Great. Okay, let's open our Bibles to the book of Luke, and we're going to read some verses this Christmas morning. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for what this morning means to us as believers. We thank you, Father, that although in many ways the dates are relevant, what we remember this morning is the sending of your Son, the Lord Jesus. And I pray, Father, that you, by the power of your Holy Spirit, would illuminate our hearts to see the truth of your word, that we might rejoice and magnify your name this morning. Amen. There was a very interesting story in the news this week. I don't know if any of you read it, about a young Muslim man called Muhammad Hussein, who instead of spending Christmas with his family, had to spend it in lockdown with his flatmates or roommates that he lived with in Canada. And because of his upbringing, he had never experienced many of the traditions that we typically associate with Christmas. And he talked about this new experience of buying gifts and of planning a big dinner and of decorating the tree and all of the excitement that goes on with preparations for Christmas. And it was really interesting to read a fresh perspective on Christmas, almost a new set of eyes looking at everything that we see as necessary for Christmas. And he was writing about this online. And of course, it was a perspective that totally missed the point of Christmas. But as we rewind 2,000 years this morning, we meet Mary. And in the book of Luke, we're going to read from chapter 1. Mary has just been told that she will carry in her womb the Son of God. And starting at verse 39 of Luke chapter 1. And Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste into a city of Judea, and entered into the house of Zacharias and saluted Elizabeth. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leapt in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. And she spake out with a loud voice and said, Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in mine ears, the babe leapt in my womb for joy. And blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. And Mary said, My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Saviour. For he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. For he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on them that fear him. From generation to generation, he hath shewed strength with his arm. He hath scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He hath put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree. He hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he hath sent empty away. He hath holpen his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spake to our fathers, to Abram and to his seed forever. And Mary abode with her about 3 months and returned to her own house. Mary's visiting Elizabeth, and while there she proclaims this song in verses 46 to 55. And we call these the Magnificat today, which comes from the Latin translation of the first line, "My soul doth magnify the Lord." And in this wonderful song, she opens by saying that her soul magnifies God. Her spirit rejoices in God, her Savior. But this isn't because in the birth of her son, like the gentleman we heard about a minute ago, she foresees Christmas dinners and Christmas trees and presents and family gatherings, as lovely as all of those things are. No, Mary's celebration is because she can see something way greater. And let's briefly look this morning at, in Mary's song, at three things that we see in the sending of Jesus. Here's the first one in verses 48 to 50. In the sending of Jesus, we see God's mercy. As I look around here this morning, we've all had a different number of Christmases. Some of us have had a few. Some of us have had a few more. And some of us have had very few at all. In fact, there might be a few very early Christmases here this morning. And you know, as I think back over the many stressful carol services I've had to take part in over the years, or the 27 turkeys that I've enjoyed each Christmas day, it's a time of year that we greatly celebrate and we treasure it, and rightly so. Life just wouldn't seem the same without Christmas. Often we feel that, you know, after a busy year, well, we deserve a break. We deserve to eat lots of food. We deserve to sit and eat chocolate and tell stories and watch Christmas movies and just rest after a busy year. And, you know, so in many ways, all of that is true, but we really don't deserve the real reason for Christmas. And Mary, this pregnant girl from Galilee, is in awe that God should choose her to be the mother of her son. In verse 48, "For he has looked on the humble estate of her servant." And she admits that she, this unknown girl from Nazareth, would be known by everyone forever as blessed by God. There's a great danger, of course, that we undervalue Mary in the story of Scripture. And maybe that is in reaction to those that would give her a place that she doesn't hold. But it is true that she was only human. Yes, she loved and followed her Lord, that's clear. But she was a sinner, just like us. She had struggles and worries and temptations. She had broken God's law countless times throughout her life. And yet, God the Father, in his sovereignty, chooses Mary to carry his son. It's not that Mary has received the title of blessed because she's done good works, and she goes from good works to blessed. It's not that she's gone from perfect obedience to blessed. No, she has gone from totally undeserving of the goodness of God to blessed throughout all generations. She says in verse 49, "He who is mighty truly has done great things for me." But that mercy that we see in the sending of Jesus doesn't just end at Mary carrying the Son of God in her womb. This baby would grow up to fulfill the requirements of the greatest act of mercy this universe has and will ever see. Not just the birth, but the life and death and resurrection of her Son would provide mercy for all who believe on him. Of course, mercy is withholding what we really deserve, isn't it? We don't deserve the reason we celebrate Christmas. We don't deserve God's sending of his Son. We don't deserve God being with us. We don't deserve his salvation that his life and death would purchase. And yet, verse 50, God has chosen to extend this mercy to all who would fear him from generation to generation. In the sending of Jesus, we see God's mercy. This baby king is for sinners, for transgressors, for those who mess up, for those who don't measure up. Secondly, in the sending of Jesus, we see God's strength. Look at verses 51 and 52. If ever there was a year where we are really aware of our own frailty, it's been 2020, hasn't it? This invisible virus has gripped the minds and bodies of millions of people. Something so tiny has made an enormous dent in history, even in the face of the might of our technology and our healthcare and our democracies, everything we can throw at it. But the strength of this virus has nothing on the strength of our God. Look at verse 51. His strength is shown in his arm. Now, of course, this is figurative. God is spirit, but he doesn't show strength with his whole body or his armies or his weapons, with his arm. And he has scattered the proud in what? The thoughts of their heart. He brings down the mighty from their thrones. I'm pretty sure you can't do that. And I certainly know that I can't do that. I wonder what Mary had in mind when she said these words. She would have known of the Lord's victories from throughout Scripture, the kings and the empires that God's people crushed against all odds. The times when God's servants were stuck between a rock and a hard place, and yet God brings them victory. Think of Moses, David, Daniel, and countless others. So how on earth do we see the strength of God in a little, tiny, dependent baby? You know, this baby was just like other babies in many ways. Contrary to what we see so often, he didn't have a halo on his head or his skin didn't glow white. There weren't rays shining out of his manger or angels singing carols around the stable. He was just a baby, just like we once were. But in other ways, of course, he wasn't like us at all. This baby was the promised Son of God. This baby would grow up to show the strength of God in the strangest possible way. Jesus didn't come into this world in a palace and live a life of affluence and mix only with the strong or the upper classes of society and teach only the smartest people that he could find. No, Jesus had time for the weakest, the poorest, the least intelligent, the outcasts, those that society saw little or no use for. And through those people, God shows his strength. Maybe this Christmas you do struggle with poor health or lack of material things or you think you're not very smart. God uses people like you to show his strength to this world. What did the Lord say to Paul? My strength is made perfect in what? Weakness. In the sending of Jesus, we see God's strength. This baby king is for the weakest, the defeated, and the trampled on. Those that God then takes and uses in mighty ways for his purposes in this world. Thirdly and finally, in the sending of Jesus, we see God's provision. I'm pretty sure that if I went to your house today, which I'll not, of course, don't worry, and said, I've got no food, I wouldn't be left hungry. In fact, I'd probably be brought in and struggle to walk after eating a full Christmas dinner and pudding. But what if I turned up at your door at 3 o'clock with evidence of a turkey dinner running down my face, a half-eaten turkey leg in my hand, and a shirt that's bursting at the buttons, and said, I need some food. Would you mind if I took one of your children's Christmas dinners? I think I'd rightly be told to leave, wouldn't I? And in verse 53, Mary moves on to sing of the provision of God through the ages. And listen to what she says. He hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he hath sent away empty. Those who come to God empty are filled. And those who come thinking they are full already are sent away empty. 30 years later, Jesus would echo the sentiments of these words when he said, what you all have heard before, they that are whole have no need of a physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. When I was in high school a few years ago, one December we were all exchanging Christmas presents one morning in form class. Lots of excitement, lots of noise. It was all very exciting and cheerful, giving each other cards and presents to our friends. Until someone gave a gift to someone who clearly hadn't been expecting a gift from them. And there was the expected awkwardness as everyone pretended they weren't looking, but they really were. But it was quickly followed by the receiver of the gift dashing into their bag, producing this present with no label and going, ah, I knew the emergency gift would come in handy. It was funny, but as I thought back about this yesterday, you know, this is the great news of the gospel, especially at Christmas. Jesus came for those who have nothing to offer him in return. Heaven's baby comes to earth, and we, like this awkward present exchange, are left with our arms at one length, open mouth, thinking, what on earth can I give in return for this? But God's provision for us is not based on what we can provide in return. But we can be sure, as Mary sang, and as God's people experienced in the past, if we are hungry, we will be filled with good things. In the sending of Jesus, we see God's provision. This baby king is for the tired, the hungry, and the empty. Mary magnified the Lord, and she rejoiced in her Savior for his mercy, for his strength, and for his provision. One of the wonderful opportunities at Christmas is the opportunity to both look back and to look forward. And maybe you're not a follower of Jesus here today. And maybe you've realized that you're the sinner, you're the weak, you're the one that has nothing to offer here. Well, this offer of mercy and strength and provision is for you. Come to Jesus today. This God who is truly with us, and be forgiven, strengthened, and provided for. And Christians, what a reason to celebrate today. The King has come. And he comes still every day, giving mercy and strength and provision to his people. And not only that, he will continue to do it forever. Just like Mary, today may our souls magnify the Lord and rejoice in God our Savior. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your mercy, for your strength, and for your provision in our lives. And we thank you, Lord, that we can join Mary in this great song. And we too can sing the Magnificat, that our soul magnifies the Lord and rejoices in God our Saviour. Father, I thank you for today and what it means. I pray that everyone under the sound of my voice would have a great day, Lord. A day filled with family and food and friends and everything that Christmas Day contains. But Father, may it be a day that we think upon you and we think upon Jesus and we think upon the greatest provision, the greatest mercy and the greatest strength this world has ever seen, given through a baby boy, your son Jesus. Amen. I think the group are going to come back up and close first. Thank you.
Just before the group sings, I did neglect to say earlier on, Robbie has some CDs with him this morning. You know, Robbie launched a CD last Saturday night here, and he told me they've been selling well, but he's got a few left, and if somebody hasn't got one yet, you have an opportunity to get one this morning. They're £10 each, and if you buy two, you get them for 20. So there you go.
She was going.